Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, I appreciate you joining me on this Friday.
Good to be with you, and we want to continue a little series we started last Friday about making the most of our summer. Summer is kind of a unique time, and this is a very unique year.
No doubt.
And it's just kind of changing lots of things, but baseball's getting ready to start up again.
Hey.
And before long, we'll be talking about school one fashion or the other. School's going to go on, whether it's at home or online or in the building, it's going to go on. Folks are working on vacations now, and so we often call this the lazy days of summer. But it presents wonderful opportunities for us spiritually. And that's some things we want to kind of consider and look at. Last week when we were talking about these things, we talked about keeping in mind the big picture of everything, remembering who we are, where we're going, and that will help us with our choices, and then to use this time period of the summer to grow. And, you know, sometimes we have some days off, and sometimes the schedule's not as hectic, and to tackle a book of the Bible maybe we haven't read in a long time, or to get a great spiritual book that can just encourage us and help us, and to maybe branch out and do some things we haven't done before. And it's a good use of our time, and that will kind of segue a little bit into some things we want to talk about today. In the book of Ephesians and in chapter 5, we want to kind of focus on three verses here that the apostle talks about. It doesn't talk about summer. It talks about life in general, but there are some great characteristics here that we want to look at. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And then we're going to kind of peel the layers off those three verses here in just a moment. But I particularly like in verse 16 where it says, "making the most of your time." The ESV, I believe, says, "making the best use of your time." There's always good, better, and best. And what I do may not be bad, but is it the best use of my time? So let's begin with some of those thoughts today.
You know, it definitely speaks to intentionality. We used that word, I think, a couple of times this past Friday, that we don't want just to plop down on the couch and Netflix the summer away. There is much, much more to do than just mindlessly allowing YouTube to move on to the next suggested video. We need to spend some time with God. And there are a variety of different ways to do that, right? We talked about His Word. We talked a little bit about prayer last Friday. One of the things that I love about summer is spending time enjoying the beautiful creation of God. Maybe that's one of the things that doesn't immediately come to our mind when we think of the best use of the time. But Scripture is full of reminders to us that as we see today, as we're recording, there are huge, big, white, puffy clouds up in the sky. As we see those clouds, as we get out and maybe get a little bit of exercise, enjoy the sunshine, what a great time to remind ourselves, remind our children or our grandchildren, look at how amazing God is. That's a good use of time.
And you know, you just can be in your backyard and you can notice such variety. I've often thought that green is God's favorite color because there's so many shades of green, so many shapes of leaves, so many different kinds of butterflies. You know, God could have just made one. Everything looks exactly the same. Every tree looks the same. Every leaf's the same. Every bug looks the same. You and I look the same, but He didn't. He put so much creativity in all those things, so much color, so much volume of thought, that just points to, again, a creator that is just large and wonderful and magnificent. And that's what we need to see. Now let's go back to our Ephesians passage. And I want to notice just a couple of textual things, and then we'll just kind of start looking at these layers here. As this began in verse 15, it says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men." And then verse 17, "So then do not be foolish, but understand." Those are opposites. Okay, if you understand, then you're going to make the right choices. Someone who's unwise doesn't understand. And so as Paul is addressing this to the Ephesian brethren, the first step here is we need to be careful. As Jason talked about going outside in the summer and enjoying creation, well, first of all, if you're going on a little trail down in some state park or something, you be careful how you walk, don't you?
Stay on the trail.
Stay on the trail. If you're got a little one and they're just want to run 200 miles ahead of you, you say, look out. You know, there's a little root sticking up. They're going to fall down. Paul here is not talking about walking on a path. He's talking about spiritually. Spiritually, be careful. Because there's things that will get you off God's path. There's things in our current environment that we're in now, you can be pulled easily into hatred. You can be pulled easily into racism. You can be pulled easily into some attitudes that are not right as a child of God. And so his first thought is, be careful how you walk. When we think of the summertime, it's not a time to unplug from God and say, you know what, I'm on the summer and this really doesn't matter. It does matter, and these thoughts ought to affect us in that way.
The one who doesn't do that, according to verse 17, like you said, the opposite side of this coin is foolish. Now, we know multiple times in the Bible, the fool is one who says that there is no God. But it's interesting to me that in a letter to New Testament Christians, even a Christian can be foolish when he or she acts as if God doesn't know, or God doesn't care, or I don't have to pay any attention to the will of the Lord. We know that there are those who would militantly say with their mouths, there is no God. As disciples of Jesus, we need to be careful, as you brought up from verse 17, that we understand what the will of the Lord is, because if we just waste the summer away. Last Friday, Roger, you referenced a passage from Jeremiah, this lament that harvest has come, summer is past, and we are not saved. If we just waste our summer away without thoughts of God, without thoughts of growing in his will for our lives, growing in our treatment of other people, even sharing the good news that has changed our lives, that's the path of the fool. We're not thinking about applying God's will to our lives.
I have a little granddaughter that's into gymnastics, and so in her house, she has a small balance beam, and every time we visit, she has to show me how she can walk across that thing backwards and stand on one leg and everything. But when you look at this passage in verse 15, it's like that balance beam. Be careful how you walk. On one side is danger,
Yeah. And
you can get yourself into a whole bunch of trouble. You can do that by hanging with the wrong people, just engaging in things you shouldn't engage in. But then the other side of that balance beam is idleness. And sometimes we justify idleness by saying, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you didn't do anything wrong, but you didn't do anything good. And when we think about that one talent man, Matthew 25, he went and buried the master's talent. He reproduced it and showed it, here it is. The master called him worthless, lazy slave. He didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't do anything. And that's what we need to make sure that this summer is not a summer when it's past. We're putting on our winter jackets and we're into the late fall and we're into the winter and we look back over the summer and say, well, what did we do spiritually? There'd be a big zero there. That's not good.
I think a huge part of that is taking the time to deliberately look for opportunities to serve. Just because we are in a season of social distancing and not able to do everything that we wish we could do, that doesn't mean that there are not opportunities to serve. I'm reminded of how Paul in Acts chapter 20 reminds the Ephesian elders that Jesus himself taught and showed us it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so, yes, there are some dangers on one side of that balance beam. And last Friday, we talked about dangers of alcohol and immodesty and things like that. But if I get all the way through the summer and I haven't given one thought to serving in the name of Jesus, that's a recipe for wasting a whole lot of God-given time.
It sure is. Verse 16, then, making the most of your time because the days are evil, or making the best use of our time. The old translations used to use the word redeem, and that's not really a good word because the word redeem means to buy back. And that's one thing you cannot do. You cannot store up time. You cannot say, well, you know what, I've got a couple extra hours and I'm not doing anything today, so I'm going to throw that into tomorrow. So tomorrow I'm going to have 26 hours. It doesn't work that way. You can't get to the end of the week and say, you know what, I'm going to buy four more hours because I need four more. You don't. Once it's gone, and it's never gotten back. So redeem is not the best word. The best word is to make the best use of it. And you do that, once again, by putting some thought into that. And realizing that. And how many times the gospel reminds us of this? We got in Luke chapter 12, the man who was going to tear down his barns and build larger barns. And that very night, his soul was required of him. He did not know what time it was. Then a few pages later, we got the rich man, Luke 16. And he was prospering. He was doing all kinds of stuff physically. But he died and his soul wasn't ready. Neither man knew what time it was. Neither man really used their time wisely because they were bankrupt when it came to God.
I think we need to appreciate both clauses there in verse 16. We're being called to make the best use of the time, but we're also being told why. There's a because here. The days are evil. And we've got a keen reminder of that, it seems like, in the summer of 2020, where you just have a near constant barrage of troubling news, discouraging headlines. All around us, we see godlessness. We see hatred. We see acts of violence on multiple different fronts. We see the fight to maintain joy and hope in the midst of a pandemic. This is a heavy summer, right? Which means, if we're going to make the most of it, if we're going to endure, if we're going to shine, number one, we need fuel. We've talked a lot about spiritual fuel on this podcast. Number two, we really need to think about the people that we're spending time with, voices that we are listening to. It's encouraging here at Charlestown Road to see more and more people each Lord's Day, Lord willing, 1 week from this past Wednesday, next Wednesday, July the 1st, we've got the opportunity to come back on Wednesday evenings in person. Part of making the most of our summer is making sure that we spend time with people who are going to enhance our walk with God. Cable news isn't going to do that, and social media certainly doesn't always do that. We need time with God and with His people.
So let me ask you this, Jason. You use an expression, making the best use of our time. And his warning about the days are evil, staying away from evil, we understand that. What is the difference between good, better, and best? How do I, as a disciple today, distinguish? I mean, there's a lot of good things I can be doing. There are better things, but I need to be doing the best.
I think a part of that begins with the wisdom to understand, like you said earlier, time cannot really be redeemed. I've got a finite amount of that, right? And as I grow, hopefully as I mature, I realize I could spend my entire life, I could spend 10 lifetimes with a lot of either morally neutral stuff or good stuff and reach the end of my time on earth and God say, you know what? You wasted your life. There, you mentioned baseball. We both love baseball. Baseball certainly is not immoral in and of itself, right? It is full of people, and people need a savior just as surely as you and I do. I could devote my entire life to learning the history of baseball, studying the physics of baseball, just immersing myself in statistics, memorizing every single playoff team, every single World Series winner, MVP winner, all of that. Lots of good stuff there, right? But if I reach the end of my life and I know more about baseball than any human being that has ever lived, I've got every reason to believe that God is not going to be proud of me. That was not a good use of my time. There was a better. And so how do I begin to determine good, better, best? It's kind of like that old illustration of your life as a big mason jar, right? And you can fill that mason jar only so far with water and sand and little pebbles before you're completely out of room and you don't have space for the biggest rocks of all. So part of this is listening to God. What are the biggest rocks of life? Let's make sure we've got those in the jar and then sprinkle in some gravel and sand and water. What else would you add to that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is as this passage unfolds here in the New American Standard, as we get to our third verse, verse 17, so then do not be foolish, yeah, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the difference between good, better, and best falls under what does God expect of me?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, have I honored my God? Have I walked humbly with God? Have I been a servant of God? And so I might have done lots of good things. I might have, you know, got my bills paid on time. I might return my library books. I might have opened the door for somebody. A lot of little things you can do in life. Got my yard all mowed and everything's looking good in the house. Everything's great. Good things. But is this, at the end of the day, what's most important?
I can have a beautiful lawn, but if my marriage is neglected, I got a problem. I can have an immaculate garage, but if I don't have a relationship with my kids, I got a problem.
See, at the judgment, I believe the Lord's going to ask us some questions. And I believe there'll be some questions he won't ask us. I don't think he's going to ask us, did you get your tires rotated every 3,000 miles?
Yeah.
Important to us, not important to God.
What's your golf handicap?
I mean, that's extremely important to some of us, but not to God. Did you follow your team? I mean, do they even have a team back in the first century? You know, those things are not important. They are to us. So good, better, and best. The answer to that is found in verse 17, understanding what does God want from you? What does God expect of you? Now, let's just trickle on down here to the next verse, verse 18. Because now, 18 through 21, God tells us some more things that helps us. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine. That's some of the evil we've talked about, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is what has given us the Word of God. Be filled with what God has given us. Understand the will of God. This is the best use of my time. I can walk through life and I can understand how to turn an engine on. I can understand this and understand that. But if I was to be asked, what does it take to get to heaven? And I don't have a clue. Then I haven't followed what's best. So be filled with the Spirit. The very next verse, verse 19. speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. There's two things. There's connecting with others, as Jason said. You're connecting with others who are spiritual. You're connecting with others in worship. You're singing. You're praising God. You're honoring God. This is a good use of my time because it's going to put my right perspective where it needs to be. It's going to get my priorities in order. And sometimes that gets out of order. The very next verse, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Being thankful. Thankful in a time period of tension and pandemics. Thankful in a time where, you know, maybe it's summer and I just kind of unplugged from the world. But I need to be thankful. Am I alive today? The answer is yes. I need to be thankful for that. That is a gift. And then verse 21, be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. That simply means get along. Get along with one another, particularly among brethren. Quit being selfish, quit pushing your agenda, quit kind of being a bump in the log. Learn to be subject, learn to get along. All of those things would fall under the category of the doing what is best.
And we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there's the foundation, right? There's the biggest rock of all. It's the same point, I think, as 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And so whether you stay in town all summer or you go on vacation, you live in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether you're male or female, whether you're still working or retired, whether you live in a house or an apartment, whether whatever you do, however you spend your time this summer, recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ and live to His glory. The practical things that we're noticing in Ephesians chapter 5, that's what they're all built on.
You know, I think of a statement the Lord said in Luke chapter 12. There he says at the end of verse 48, for everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they have entrusted much, of him they'll ask all the more. And so what a blessing it is to have some time. You know, if you could ask somebody like the rich man in Luke 16, you could ask the farmer in Luke 12, if you could ask them on the other side of this life, this planet, what would you like to have? Their first answer would probably be one more day. I'd like to have one more day. I'd like to have better crops. I'd like to have a bigger barn. I wish my barn was painted red. I don't think the rich man said, I wish I had more food on my table. On the other side, because of the wrong choices they made, if they could have one more thing, it would be time. And so to whom much is given, much is required. And so the Lord's going to ask that of us. And so part of making good use of your time is being efficient, being organized, you know, kind of making lists. I'm a big list maker. And just getting about, okay, I have today, by the end of today, what do I want to have accomplished? And it might be going to the store, taking care of the dog, doing that, you know, all these little physical things. But in that list should be talking to my God, should be reading His word, should be honoring Him, finding ways that I can help others.
Making the most of our summer, making it a season of growth, making it first and foremost about walking with God and helping others see Him. Just a simple two-part series here as summer really begins to unfold. We hope that it has been helpful to you. Lord willing, this next Friday, the first Friday in July, we'll have a brand new series to get us rolling deeper into the summer. But Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. We appreciate all of you listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel as summer unfolds. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound and the best is yet to come.